And it's an ongoing journey. That's another huge conversation of, I know a lot of us do intermittent fasting. What about intermittent self-care, right? Where throughout the day, we have these little mini vacations so that we can keep our frequency high. And in that, the blinders are wide open so we can see more answers. We can take in more information, more awareness.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another new episode. And I'm so excited with the pandemic and everything. I have a lot of international friends, which is absolutely awesome. But after 2 years, you know, it's kind of hard to keep seeing them all. And so slowly but surely, we're tracking each other down and checking in with everyone. And that happened recently with my dear friend, Jill Fisher. She's from Canada and just a dear, dear friend. And she's going to share some amazing insights with us. We were chatting not too long ago, and it was all about, I've actually lost track of these 2 years. And I think part of that is stress, anxiety, grief, shock. I don't know. You know, I've talked about it in a couple of episodes before on the show about this whole chaos thing that a lot of us are going through. And I said, you know, Jill, you need to come on the show and share with us. And so let me introduce her. Her name is Jill Fisher. She's an international speaker, advanced hypnotherapist, and energy healer. And she coaches people who struggle with anxiety, chronic health, weight, and sleep issues. And a lot of them have tried all sorts of things, you know, the Western Med, the White Coat Authority, alternative therapies, counseling, all sorts of things. And nothing's worked. And a lot of times she says they feel pretty hopeless. And I think some of us in the audience can raise our hands, have been there, done that. Jill is awesome at what she does because she is going to share with us, among other things, that helps us feel healthier, wealthier, calmer, lighter, and happier. So I'm so excited to be here, have her here with us. Thank you, Jill, for being on the show.
Thank you, Sharon. That's hearing my intro that you just said, it's a tall order. It can actually feel a little bit unbelievable. But at the essence of what we're doing is going into the energy to heal at an energetic level. And Western medicine, I think we need it all. Yeah. It's not that I don't mean to discount any of the other practices. It's a holistic perspective of bringing it all in together. And sometimes that energetic piece is missing such that the other practices aren't able to take effect, or it's a temporary healing. So I have the pleasure of and the honor to be able to connect with people at an energetic level to heal beyond what logic might bring us to.
And I've had the pleasure, as you know, of attending several of your sessions. And so,
yeah.
But sometimes Jill and I would bump into each other, so-called, on the road. I'd be able to sit in her sessions as well.
And so that's different awesome. Retreats and that. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I've had a wide variety of her sessions, and I agree. I didn't want to diminish any sort of alternative therapies, Western med, any of that. But I found that big breakthroughs came when I addressed the whole being, not just the physical. Mm-hmm. I had mentioned to you in a chat, Jill, about when I first started the show, it was all about the physical. Let's see, you know, what can we do to fix the physical? And it wasn't until about a year in that I had a variety of guests come on that talked about, no, there's more to it. There's the mental, emotional, spiritual, energetic part of healing too. And that's why I wanted you on, because more and more, and it's not just autoimmune right now, although I do think they're going to find long COVID is, if not actually an autoimmune, very closely related to an autoimmune. So many of the symptoms sound like that. So, I mean, there's a lot going on, and I think people are just trying to process everything that's gone on. In fact, even on a minor level for me, the other day I was talking to someone and had gotten an appointment with them. And I said, you know, I saw you a couple of years ago. And she looked at me, she said, no, that was 2018.
Wow.
And yeah. I was like, how can that be?
Yeah. So, 2 years before COVID.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. They disappeared. But I think a lot of us are sort of walking around, even if we're in that thriver mode. I hope all of us are in that thriver mode with a lot of residual from all of this. What kinds of things are you seeing, and what things do you suggest people do if they are going, yeah, that's me, Jill?
Yeah, well, that's a big question. How long do we have?
Yeah, I know. Just a simple little change.
It's a global healing we're after here.
Sure, why not, Jill?
Okay, let's go for it. I mean, the pandemic aftermath, like as we're trying to create a new normal, it's almost like a pollutant or a leftover consciousness of heightened anxiety, of worry, of, you know, we want to be prudent with our health for sure. And now the severity seems to be more extreme. Like honestly, I'm seeing more deaths, more illness, people's immune system are compromised from not just stress. I mean, you can say that stress feeds all illness, but you know, what comes to mind is there's this almost like this fog that we're living in right now.
Great metaphor, because that's how I feel. And it's not the brain fog that so many people are suffering from.
No, although it can exist in the brain too, but it's like this, like the ether, the air that we're breathing has an element of fear in it, of beware of illness, be careful of each other. There's a tenuousness to how we're living right now, as opposed to, you know, wide open hugs and sitting right beside each other. And
I did venture out. I had that appointment the other day. I did venture out to a fairly busy part of town. Mm-hmm. Hadn't been there in 2+ years, obviously. I had the weirdest sort of social anxiety just walking down the street and having somebody pass me that didn't have a mask on.
Right.
I'm like, okay, Sharon, get a grip here.
Yeah. And it's pervasive, right? It's still, it's, you know, there's various degrees of it, but living under that energy, there can be a compromise to how safe you feel just existing out and about with other people. And in that too, it's almost like a contraction in your body of, I need to protect myself. I need to be on high alert. I need to be super aware, which can put us into a fight or flight state, which is not thriving. It's surviving, yeah. Right?
Oh, yes. We know, we've had experts on, such as yourself, you know, everything as your bio even alludes to is sleep issues and stress and anxiety. All of that, it comes right from that amygdala.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And so then you're on high alert, your cortisol levels are peaking, your adrenaline is surging, and it's been surreal what we've lived through in the last couple of years, to the point where, like what you're saying about, I saw you 2 years ago, and in fact, it was 4.5 years ago.
Exactly.
Because it's a blur what we went through.
It is a blur. It is a blur. And even though my schedule is getting back, but I've made some choices. I'm not doing the old normal. I'm actually, my schedule's different than it was 2+ years ago, but I find it interesting, this idea of, do you want to go back to the way it was, or what are you trying to craft as a new normal? And I find that the people are kind of split on that. Mm-hmm. Certain groups are like, no, we want it to go back to the way it was. And others of us, I'm going to put myself on that side. I was like, maybe I want to craft something different with my life. But even that can create stress and anxiety, especially if that's split within your family.
So. Well, I think if you're to look at how you're viewing life, that to go back to how it was, that feels near impossible to my brain, of that there's no going back. We're forever changed from what we've gone through. And the resiliency, the ability to be fluid with what changes still might be in front of us. What happened for me with COVID is I've spent the last dozen years working out of clinics and being the, you know, the meditation leader there, the hypnotherapist, life coach at different clinics, and loving the community of having healers under one roof that are collaborating and creating holistic health for our clients. And then the clinics closed.
Wow.
So
with no warning.
And so I moved home and did more sessions over Zoom. I've always done remote sessions where, you know, before Zoom it was Skype, before that it was over the phone. And so I've always had clients internationally. And with the clinics closing, it became more. So it actually created a oomph for my business, in that because the medical system, the Western medical system, turned to remote sessions as well over Zoom and phone, there was a new, like, normalizing of that healing can be done over the phone or Zoom or remotely. So that opened up a lot of doors for the work that I do. And so my business actually tripled. I became way busier moving home and serving people over Zoom. And now I find that the clinics are open again, but I'm really quite happy to carry on. You know, my commute from the kitchen to the, you know, the office is quite nice.
Well, mine too. I have to say, I haven't been home this much in, I can't remember when.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but I have to admit, I'm very privileged that I can do that with what I do.
Right. And not everybody can, you know. Yeah. Some people have the brick and mortar businesses where invention into how to adjust might be creating a whole new business. Right. And so actually, I've heard a stat of over 60% of small businesses in the U.S. have closed through COVID.
Wow.
That's huge.
That's huge. When I think about things like restaurants and mom and pop stores and things like that, absolutely.
Yeah, my heart goes out to them. And though I'm curious to how many new businesses started, because as some closed, did people step into a new creation?
Right.
That's a stat I don't know.
Well, let's talk about new creation, though. I know you are really good at helping people do this sort of reinvent ourselves, new creation, creating new things. Let's just say, I don't know, I'm just trying to think, maybe a stereotypical person might now come to you with what? Things like sleep issues?
Anxiety is, I mean, it became trendy, really, you know, as weird as that sounds, the normalizing that panic attacks and high anxiety levels and the stress levels, which opened the door for people to ask for help, which was a great side of that. So yes, a lot of anxiety, weight issues, sleep issues, which, you know, if you stem it back to the level of anxiety that people are wrestling with, the work that I do, it can be also for physical ailments, right? Like chronic autoimmune disease. It can be allergies. It can be, actually, that's, you know, what actually gave me a double take for hypnotherapy. I always had like a knife stabbing pain in my collarbone area. And I fell into hypnotherapy from purchasing this package that had coaching and classes. And then hypnotherapy was part of it. I didn't go looking for hypnotherapy. And at two sessions, we didn't even talk about the pain that I would always have in my collarbone area. But after two sessions, I noticed it was totally gone. And we were actually talking, I was going through a divorce, and we're talking about, you know, getting out the anger that was all bottled up in me about my soon to be ex-husband at the time. And that was like a nice bonus. I'm like, hey, I don't have that stabbing pain in my body anymore.
We share that, Jill. I tell this story of a similar type of situation. Mine was in my back, though. And it was actually, she technically was my massage therapist, but, you know, very, very gifted person. And I was sort of chatting about things, and she goes, well, you know, if we'd take that knife out of your back, you'd feel much better. And just sort of the metaphor of that whole thing, and then mm-hmm. some work, some energy work and things like that around it. My whole shoulder eased up, and it was so fascinating to me how these little stories or these little metaphors we create are actually real things. Like this idea, there was no knife in my back, guys. Not really.
Well, your subconscious mind
yes
takes things verbatim, right? Like it doesn't interpret the metaphor. So knife in the back, so your cells contract. Oh, I've got to protect you because I've got a knife in my back. That's where the power of words is amazing. And your subconscious just receives the information without filter. So the beauty of hypnotherapy and energy work is that you're kind of going through the gatekeeper of the left hemisphere, the left part of your brain, being the more rational, reasonable, logical side, into the right hemisphere and into your subconscious, into your unconscious, where energy, you know, that's most of what drives our behavior. So the knife in your back, your left brain says metaphor, your right brain says knife in my back.
At least it sure feels like one.
Yeah. And your body responds, right? Like, and so until that metaphor, that story is healed, the cellular, like a muscle memory, is trying to heal you from a knife in your back.
Oh, I know. Once I started diving into this, and we do a lot of shows on it because I have found it so helpful, everything from hypnotherapy, energy work, to sound healing, things mm-hmm. like that. And I'm always fascinated that once some of these core parts are addressed, let's say we address some of the physical ailments, but usually behind those, there's some sort of driver. It mm-hmm. could be as simple as your nutrition.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely part of it.
It could be as simple as that. But one thing I found interesting is when just a little side rabbit hole here is that idea of diet and things like anxiety and stress can absolutely be exacerbated by how you're eating. And I know that a lot of people stress ate, shall I say, during the pandemic and then couldn't figure out why they kept feeling poorly or feeling anxious. Mm-hmm. And when they cleaned up their diet, all of a sudden I don't feel quite as anxious. So it's amazing to me, this intertwined mm-hmm. that it's very, I don't think I'll use the word impossible. Maybe I don't know for sure, but it seems like it's very difficult to separate any of those different ideas from the mental, spiritual, emotional, physical, energetic body is all woven together. And I love that people now are beginning to talk about it mm-hmm. as a whole yeah. and that we're working on parts of that whole instead of, just fix the physical.
It's one of the gifts of the pandemic for sure, is that we realize how important our mental health is and emotional health and spiritual health. That it's not just a physical, we're not just physical. We're actually a very small part of physical. We're mostly space. We're mostly energy. So with, you know, maybe 1% physical in 99% this space. So the weaving, like you said, of creating, it's funny. I went through fine art and my specialty was fiber. I had 5 looms in my house. I used to be a weaver. So I love that analogy when you said weaving, but this tapestry of all the essences of us creating who we are, and physical is one part. It's maybe the most visible part. So we pay a lot of attention to it, but yeah, like looking at the nutrition, even looking at the love that you put into the food, right? The context with which you hold nutrition and supplements and how you're caring for your body. It's this conglomerate, right, of all these parts to make up you. And we are really, I think, globally more than ever, realizing how important our mindset is, that when we are in high fear, we are actually, you know, at a cellular level, we're contracting. And you can see it with people's posture, right? Where they'll protect their heart, curl their shoulders in and kind of hunch back and...
Or turn their back to you as you walk by.
Yeah, turn your back. Yeah, because they're fearful of getting COVID, right?
It's a valid concern. So
totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the fallout of being in that so much, the health issues that we're dealing with, it seems to exasperate. I like to think of it like, if you think of a cell, like a round ball, And if you think of it like a grape that's healthy, it has a smooth skin around it. It's full of fluid. It's going to be really, really juicy, yummy, beautiful grape, right? And so if you think of that as a healthy cell, everything's working as it should, right? The intelligence of that cell, it's all there working perfectly. Whereas an unhealthy cell, if you think of it like a dehydrated grape into a raisin, and so it's maybe more dense, dark, wrinkly on the outside, not so fluid. Things on the inside are hard to move because there's not a lot of room. There's not a lot of hydration. And things like bacteria, viruses, parasites, all these pathogens can hook on because it's all dehydrated and it's compromised. So when we're turning our back on people and when we're contracting ourselves because we're in fear or stress, protecting our heart because we're maybe in unhealthy relationships, that whole contraction, if you think of what's happening at a cellular level from grapes down to raisins.
It's a great visual.
And from there, now you're more susceptible to disease. And so hydration, like, you know, good old water, right? And the nutrients and plumping up those cells, healing those cells back up to what would look like a grape, so that the innate intelligence of your cells, they're in an environment where they can just express themselves naturally and heal. That's why, like, when you introduced me and it was like, wow, it sounds like a tall order, but I stand by it.
And you're very good at what you do, Jill. That's what
Thank
I
you.
Love about you.
Thank you.
But, wow. With that visual, guys, I'm going to go get a drink of water. You guys enjoy this commercial break. We'll be right back. I'm going to drink a lot of water because that visual.
Cheers to water.
Be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how while you will get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could chat on a game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And today we're with Jill Fisher. She's an international speaker, advanced hypnotherapist, and energy healer. And we've just been chatting about, oh my goodness, what we've just been through and how that kinds of trauma, angst, anxiety, stress, all of those sorts of kinds of words can play havoc with our health. And she's been sharing some great visuals. I love the idea of the nice, beautiful, juicy grape. I was thinking about wine as we were going there, but it turned into a raisin. So
we want to go back to grapes. And we I'm a fan of wine too.
We want to go back to being a grape. I love that visual. And so one of the things I wanted to talk to you about in this segment, though, is I've been hearing a lot of people have sleep issues, and having a lot of exposure to hypnosis myself and energy work, things like that. What are some things that you can share when people say, well, yeah, it's sleep, huh? So got any tips for good sleep?
Yeah, I have a whole bunch. okay, so sleep. One that is pivotable, that's a big word, is the context, like how you look at sleep. Some people look at sleep like a waste of time because I got so much to do, right? And some people look at sleep like I never want to get out of bed because I want to hide out from, you know, and it can lead into depression where I just want to hide under my sheets. So looking at the context with which you hold sleep and to play with the idea around sacred space, that it's time for you to rejuvenate. If you have a belief system of God, source, universe, a time for you to connect. And this sacred space of rebooting, rejuvenating yourself. And consider, this is something interesting to think about, consider that the amount of sleep is correlate to how much you resist living life. So meaning...
Yeah. Because that got me there. I'm like, okay, I never was good at math story problems. So let's feed it to me a bit more here.
Okay. So if you notice that you complain a lot about life, if things are not the way you want them to be, and you really struggle with that, right? Like that, especially with COVID, there was a lot of things going on. We did not want to be that way, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that was not hard finding a few.
There's an easy one. So very easy to look at. Okay, this is not how I want life to be. So there's resisting life, right? That my friend died of COVID, or I can't visit so-and-so because of their restrictions, or, you know, all of the conversation around vaccination and all of these things, all these polarities. It's almost like we've been stretched into extreme polarity, and in that strong viewpoints that can break up the best of families. And so if you think of when we have such strong opinions that we can't hear another, we're resisting life. When we hear ourselves or hear another complaining about a situation, we're resisting life. When we're resisting life, it takes an enormous amount of energy. And what can happen is either polarity of we never want to leave bed. We want to just hide out in bed and sleep and sleep and sleep because we don't want to face life because life is too difficult. Or we're so wound up with anxiety and cortisol levels and maybe stimulants in our body that it's hard to wind down because it's like we're in a car and we're revving the gas and we're not taking our foot off yet. We're lying in bed, but we're still revving the gas. So sleep is a metric of like the amount of sleep, looking at, because there's a theory, you know, you should get 7 to 9 hours sleep or, you know, whatever the current number is right now. But consider that as you resist life less, as you're with life, as life is, even if it's not the way you want it to be, but you're accepting that this is so, this is the way life is right now. And even, you know, putting on the icing of, it's actually being orchestrated for me somehow, some way. So even if I can't understand why or how, this is actually a good thing. Like if I look at, I mentioned I started hypnotherapy from going through a difficult divorce. So I would have never wished that experience
of what happened with my marriage, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Yet now I look back and go, it was actually a blessing for me. It was the kick in the pants for me to redirect my energy into healing. And now I have this amazing career that I love, and, you know, health and wealth and happy family. And, you know, I was not going down that road before, and I didn't redirect myself. The circumstances were such that I did redirect myself in going for coaching and counseling and all that learning and healing. But the sledgehammer or the 2x4 that hit me was, you know, all the difficulty of a really unhealthy marriage.
Well, Jill, you know, you and I have shared this before, and a similar story. But, you know, what I found interesting was, yes, sledgehammer kind of moment. But there then a lot of doors opened up to me for trainings and ways of being that I was unfamiliar with. Mm-hmm. That I probably would not have even noticed had I been on that other path.
For sure.
And I find that so fascinating that, you know, I know it's that old proverb of, you know, one door closes, you know, another door opens, or, you know, crawl out the window, or whatever that proverb is. But yeah. Anyway, I find that sometimes when we have those moments of crises, those moments of intense radical change, I have no idea how it works. Maybe you do. This idea of all of a sudden, I'm sure those opportunities were always there before, but I was unable to see them until that moment.
I like to describe this. So I'm full of metaphors. So here we go again.
Oh, so am I.
Horse
I'll
blinders.
Prepare myself for a raisin.
No, we're going to the stables now.
Oh, okay.
Get my so you think of out. Horse blinders around your eyes, right? That prevent you from your peripheral vision. So when we're in high fear, our horse blinders close in and we see less because we're surviving the moment. We're surviving whatever's occurring. And so our brain is designed to keep us alive. And this extra information we don't need, you can see it with people that are in a car accident or some kind of crisis or trauma, where they get laser focused, you know, and then the 90-year-old lady can lift a car off of a 5-year-old trapped boy, right? Like these amazing things happen partly because of laser focus, and the rest of the world disappears. So if you think of it like these horse blinders tightening in so that you can get through the crisis, through the trauma. But what happens is that we get stuck there. And it's the same with adrenal fatigue, right? Like our cortisol levels get stuck on overdrive for the running from the tiger, or, you know, dealing with the crisis at hand. And for some reason, our body doesn't click back into, okay, now I can rest, now I can relax, now I can go back to normal living. And we stay in this overdrive. So we stay with these horse blinders caught so that we can only see a little bit of a viewpoint in front of us. And this is where you get into my way or the highway arguments as well, because you can't see another perspective because you've got these horse blinders on. As you do your healing work, as you open up, as you maybe not concede, but surrender to maybe there's something better, maybe there's another way, right? So you start to open up, your horse blinders open up. And then, oh, hey, I could do some hypnotherapy, or I could do some coaching, or I could do some meditation, right? And so they were always there. It's like right. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. The teacher's always been there, twiddling his thumbs, waiting for the student to open up his blinders. Right. And then as we do more and more of this healing work, our peripheral vision, our horse blinders open up to the point where, you know, your consciousness is so expansive that you can practically have eyeballs on the back of your head. Although that'd be freaky. So let's not do that. But you can feel, you know, you can feel energy around you.
Although my kids used to swear I had eyeballs in the back of my head. But I think being a parent, maybe they're, you know, maybe they're metaphorical, but they do work.
Yeah. The spidey senses are back there. But yeah, that's my explanation for how we, when we're ready, we're able to actually find what can help us, because we're willing and we're open
and we're looking for remedies.
I have a question that's a little tangential to this. It might be a little off base, but I'm just curious when I'm thinking about, you know, the past experiences that I've been through and things and how the horse blinders have opened up. There was moments, though, of where I was unsure about trusting myself at the moment. Like, well, you know, thinking back to the crisis, you know, the previous crisis or the crisis du jour or whatever. Well, gosh, I didn't make a very good choice then. How will I know that this is a good choice now? Do you have any thoughts on how people can learn to trust that, trust again?
Yeah, that's another juicy question of coming back to trusting yourself, right? And it's like a self-love process of forgiving yourself for any past missings or errors or lack of integrity, of seeing that hindsight's 2020, right? That where you are now, so that shows that you've evolved from where you used to be because you can see differently now, and that we're human. So the compassion of often, like if you have children or pets that you unconditionally love, that ability to turn that back to yourself, right? Of, you know, I may not agree with something that my son or daughter does, but I'll always love them, right? So learning how to apply that back to yourself, that would actually help with sleep as well. And allowing yourself to, if we go back to the sleep question you said, of having that sanctitude time for yourself, that's part of self-care, self-love. And trusting yourself that I need sleep right now, or trusting yourself that I've had enough sleep and it's time to get up, even if it's 4 a.m. or if it's 11 a.m. But if you're able to have a schedule like that, not everybody can. But the trusting yourself, part of it, like a starting point would be forgiving yourself and reminding yourself that we're mere mortals, right? We're not walking around.
We are. Perfect.
Well, okay, I can speak for myself.
I was glad I was sitting down for that one, Jill.
Okay. and that this is a process of learning, right? Like the whole existing in this body for the 80, 100 years, whatever we get, is a process of adventure and learning. And so forgiving any mistakes that you might have made in the past, making amends if it's appropriate with people, of speaking into that. And I have a 4-step process for cleaning up relationships and mending and making amends that's quite straightforward, and these life moment conversations that I teach my clients. And so that you can create a inner resolve within yourself of feeling better about yourself, because your subconscious mind is watching everything you do. Even if you get away with it out there in the public and nobody knows, you know. And that diminishes how much you trust yourself. It diminishes how you view who you are. And that's, I think, what you're pointing to, of like building that integrity within, with compassion that we're human and we mess up. And that's really part of the process of being human is, how can I do better now? How can I clean up any mess that I've made with gentleness, like how much I unconditionally love my children, repair relationships, and move forward in life from the intention of creating deeper, more loving relationships with the people in my life, as well as myself. And it's an ongoing journey, right? That's another huge conversation of intermittent. I know a lot of us do intermittent fasting. What about intermittent self-care, right? Where throughout the day we have these little mini vacations so that we can keep our frequency high. And in that, the horse blinders are wide open so we can see more answers. We can take in more information, more awareness, so that we can trust ourselves and our intuition for choosing the best that we can see in the moment. And it can also be, that's another point of, you know, the groundedness and the taking time for yourself to regroup with yourself, whether it's meditation or standing in the shower for an extra minute or walking and just staring at a tree or watching a bird. So we can pause and slow down our frequency enough that we can receive guidance. We can tap into universal energies or God source universe, again, whatever your belief system is of the bigger energy out there for ideas and inventions. And so you're trusting yourself to connect and then trusting what you're receiving.
Oh, I love that. That's beautiful. And I wanted to share one thing as I was learning all of this, and I'm still learning in the process of learning. The one thing I noticed that I like to give myself a little internal high fives for was, at first, it would be a really long time between event and noticing, event and, oh, I can make another choice, whatever. Right. That would be a really long time. And then I just noticed the more I did it, the better I got at it, until the point where it's pretty instantaneous now for a lot of things, not everything, but pretty instantaneous for a lot of things. And I just wanted to share that idea, because I remember at first when I was exposed to these concepts, they were new to me. They were completely new. And I just wouldn't have even a moment of recognition about it for some time. All of a sudden the light bulb would go off like way down the timeline. And I'm like, well, what's that about? But I just want people to trust that each time you're exposed to it, each time you trust it, each time you use intuition, energy, all of these different rituals, Jill's been talking about all these things she's been talking about, you just get better and better at doing it and better at trusting it.
Totally. You create like a muscle memory, right? A muscle memory for the new habit and the new trusting yourself in your internal guidance. And also from even not knowing, being able to trust yourself that the not knowing of what the future might hold, the not knowing of exactly how it's going to turn out, from the premise of everything's happening for you, the universe is your back. It's not just got your back, but it is your back. It is inside you, guiding you, that we don't have to have all this worked out, and we never will, right? Like God laughs when we have a plan. So even if we think we have it figured out, it's like, it's a trajectory to go on, which is cool, which is great. It has us moving forward, and we'll be redirected along the way, you know, whether we like it or not. We're going to get nudged back and forth.
Older versions of me definitely was one that wouldn't leap because there was no net. I had to be absolutely certain there was a net. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I value now is that learning to leap without that proverbial net. Mine was a very strong net. It had very rigid rules about what had to be in process for me to make, to move forward. And you know, the interesting thing was, the more I've used that idea for me, I call it leaping without a net. Please don't go jump off your roof, guys. This isn't about that. please take this metaphorically, okay? This is a metaphor. But the interesting thing that I found was, there were friends such as yourself and others who were there when I leaped without the net. And I found that friends and acquaintances and life in general were there to help me. And they showed me that the leap wasn't as far or as deep as I had envisioned it to be. And that was so fascinating to me, as I was creating these worst case scenarios in my head. Mm-hmm. And then and through the process, I was like, whoa, wow, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah. And we tend to do that, right? When our monkey brain is just let loose, you know, it's a chicken or the egg thing too, of does the fear happen first or does the energy happen first? And the thoughts to justify the fear and the energy of worst case scenario, like you said. So are you feeling the fear in your body, absorbing it from the world? Because the world's holding a lot of fear right now, and justifiably so. And then we make up these worst case scenarios to justify the feeling in our body. Or are we making up these worst case scenarios in our head, in our brain, and then it creates the energy in our body? I think it's a little bit of both. We go back and forth, and it becomes a muscle memory in itself. So we tend to go into it because it's right there. And so stepping forward without that proverbial net of going in a new way, that can take courage if we're moving from fear into the unknown, the worst case scenario into I'm just going to go anyways, as opposed to creating best case scenario, even if it's la-la vision idea of best case scenario of I have a part of a process in my hypnotherapy where I'll say, if you had a magic wand and you could rewrite this memory, how would you like it to be? That creates a win-win for everyone, that empowers everyone and adds some magic to it. And the point of doing that is to shift the chemistry in your body, to shift the energy in your body. So you feel that joy, you feel that love, you feel that security, that caring, that abundance, that expansion, the flourishing that you were talking, the thriving you were talking about. So you have that chemical, so your body is going to follow what your brain thinks about. And so if your brain is thinking about this magical, beautiful, wonderful, imaginary scene, your body chemistry is shifting, which creates a frequency. And the more you do that, the more the frequency becomes familiar, like a muscle memory. So that it's almost like laying out a blueprint for you to build a house from. Now, you still have to build the house. Yes. The blueprint is not going to magically 3D itself into a house, right? Like you still have to put one foot in front of the other and pick up the phone and have the conversations and do the action and do the things. But at least you have something to work with. Right? The muscle memory, the blueprint of, oh yeah, I like this feeling in my body. And it starts to let go of the old muscle memory of the fear and the contraction, the raisins, if you will, the worst case scenario and what those thoughts do to your body.
You know, I wanted to share a quote that's one of my favorite that I read early in my diagnosis and going through that time there of someone shared with me, a medical professional shared with me a Nelson Mandela quote, and I hope I get it right. I'm just, sometimes I paraphrase these things, but it was something to the effect that courage is not the absence of fear. It's that when you triumph over it. And you were talking about having the courage to do something. And sometimes people think, you know, well, courage is like with no fear. And I love that idea that courage is not the absence of fear. It's when you walk through it and triumph over it.
If you had no fear, with the absence of fear, you would have no courage. Right. There's no need for courage without fear, which is cool from the premise of everything's being orchestrated for me. There's no fear in that, even if things are not the way you want them to be. But there's, you know, in an ultimate world, if you're almost like white lightish, without the fear, you don't need courage to go forward,
right?
Because there's nothing to have courage from. You're just moving forward. So really living into the remembering and reminding yourself that everything's being orchestrated for me is just beyond my comprehension, because I have this little, you know, human brain, and there's all of the universe being orchestrated, and which I'm part of and an essential part of. But the capacity of this human brain, as beautiful and wonderful and amazing as it is, there's a massive brain out there that I can plug into. So it's beyond my brain. It's beyond my thinking. And I'm part of all of this loving universe. So it's got to be working somehow, some way for me. So then the fear lessens. So you don't actually need as much courage there. But yeah, if the fear is there, yeah, you need courage for sure.
For sure. Absolutely. Which I think this was early in the diagnosis before you had it, I had enough knowledge about what it is. And obviously sometimes people instill fear in you by giving you stats and other things. That it's like, please quit telling me all the stats. I'm fine. I don't need to know those. So anyway, that's my own personal belief. Your listeners might need to know those, but that's up to you guys. Jill, we're just down to about the last 3 minutes. When you and I get together, dear, time just flies.
Wow, that went fast.
Yeah, it always does. I want you to share just any final thoughts. And then I know you have a wonderful little gift over at your website. So share your website and how the everyone can get their gift.
Absolutely. Well, Sharon, first of all, it's been a delight. And I can't believe that the time has gone already. So you have to have me back because I want to do this again.
Oh, absolutely. I can't believe that it's been so long since we talked either.
Yeah, totally. The free gift I have, if you go to jillfisher.ca, it's my name, and it's Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R, .ca, because I live in Canada, in the Vancouver area. And right on the main web page, there's a download, a free gift for you. It's a meditation of Let Love In. And it's my voice and it's my gift to you. And from what we talked about today, when you think of all of what we've been through in the last couple of years and how important it is to love each other, how important it is to love yourself, and to have that compassion and openness and grace for each other. And even if we're still apart in some physical sense of sending love to each other and feeling into energetically, you're part of the solution. You're part of creating health for another. And and that's, you know, it's a win-win. It's coming from you and it's being received to another, even if they don't know it. Right. So that meditation, it can help you go to sleep at night. It will help open your heart energy. It'll help you connect back to being compassionate for your mere mortalness of being human.
Darn. Oh, I hate those memories when they come back. But anyway, that's just wonderful. I love your meditations. And during the pandemic, Jill used to have the events for us to attend, which was wonderful via the video. Awesome. And it was so wonderful to hear her voice and listen to her meditations. And in those cases, I'll say it was sort of live because it was via video, but it was.
Yeah, they were live. As in, like, we were doing it right there in the moment, like live streamed
right there in the moment. Yeah. Yes. And so being able to take them home and reuse them is awesome. So thank you, everyone. Go over to Jill Fisher. That's her last name. I always mess it up, Jill. It's,
you can do it. I believe in you.
F-I-S-C-H-E-R.
Woohoo. So,
okay. I for some reason in my mind, guys, I always want to switch the S and the C around, but it's Jill Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R.ca, and get your free meditation over there because she's so skilled at this. It's just awesome. So thank you so much, Jill, for being my guest. Everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Try some of the things that we've been playing with today and let me know in the comment section over at understandingautoimmune.com. as well as sharing this show with your friends and loved ones. Everyone, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time. over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.